star in the east, and are come with gifts to worship the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Children, we've been talking these Epiphany days about saints who came from one country to another. What do we call them? Missionaries. You ought to pray today for our Lord to bless missionaries, to give us more missionaries, and to give perhaps to you the vocation to be a missionary priest or brother or sister, to bring the word of Almighty God to some foreign land. Oh, and while you're at it, you could say a prayer for the bishop, because I'm looking for a missionary priest. I need one pretty soon to do some missionary work in Nigeria. We don't seem to have anybody that quite suits the bill, so we have to say some prayers to our Lord to inspire some priest and to help out those poor people so they can have their spiritual needs taken care of. That's the grace of Epiphany, isn't it? The star of faith taps some very unlikely candidates on the shoulder and illumines them instead of worshiping fire or the sun as the Zoroastrians do. They are led to the true faith, they are led to our Lord, and they offer up many sacrifices for a long, difficult journey, and then they give him their gift. Today I want to tell you about another two saints, one of whom we keep his feast today, Saint Adrian and Saint Theodore, who lived about the 7th, 8th century in Christendom, in Europe and the East and in England, finally. This is their story. Well, the Archbishop of Canterbury, remember that the English had been converted by St. Augustine of Canterbury, the Archbishop of Canterbury, whose name was St. Deusdedit, which means God gave, died of the plague. And so the King of Wessex and the King of Northumbria, being devout sons of St. Peter, pitched upon a certain priest named Father Wigan, I think was his name, or Wiffen, and they sent him to Rome for the Pope's approval to be consecrated the next Archbishop of Canterbury. But as his predecessor did, he died of the plague, and so he died before this could happen. So Pope St. Virgilian decided that a certain monk who was originally an African, remember we have one African among the three kings, so this is really a good story to tell at Epiphany, with dark skin, one African whose name was Adrian, and he was the abbot of a monastery outside of Naples, south of Rome, that he would be just the man to be the next Archbishop of Canterbury. But he was extremely humble. At the same time, perhaps he knew himself fairly well and his good points and his bad points. And he didn't think that he was quite the man for the job. Sometimes it's hard to tell if that's being humble or being truthful. True humility is, of course, truth itself, but it's hard for us to know. That's why we have superiors to make decisions for us. So he went to see the Pope, and he and the Pope had a long discussion, and finally the Holy Father said, well, I'll send somebody else. He had suggested St. Theodore, who was a Greek from Tarsus, the same city where St. Paul had his origin. I'll send the St. Theodore, he said, if you agree to accompany him on his journey, and when he gets there, to help him out in all of his job as being a bishop. And St. Adrian said that he'd be very happy to do that. So there was an agreement made, and the Holy Father sent the two of them. They had to go through France. It was a long journey. And then some politics got in the way, because Ebroin, who was the mayor of the palace, which back then was something like being the king, was suspicious when he saw these swarthy foreigners who had been born under the power of a foreign king. That's sort of the Herod sense that kings and rulers always have. And he thought there was a political plot afoot to make some claims on his country on the part of the great Roman Emperor of the East, of Constantinople. And so it became a sort of a political matter. And poor St. Adrian got himself arrested and wasn't allowed to proceed through France to England. But St. Theodore was allowed to go, so he had to go all by himself and be bishop by himself. And he did a pretty good job. But for a number of years, Adrian was held until finally the suspicions died away and he was allowed to join his friend in England. He was made the abbot of the monastery in Canterbury, called at that time St. Peter and Paul, and he started a wonderful school. Back then there weren't very many schools, and in that area it was only the Irish that had the school. So now for the first time the English had a school, and St. Theodore, but especially St. Adrian the monk, taught the monks Greek, and he taught them Latin so well that they could speak it as though they were Romans, and he taught them sacred scripture and arithmetic too, and astronomy, which is interesting. Think of the three kings and studying the sky and the stars. And he taught them poetry too, because that's how you learn Latin or Greek. You would memorize the poets of the classical languages. So pretty soon monks and priests came from all over to go to this school and to learn to be very holy and very, very wise. And all of that came about because St. Adrian was on the humble side and said that he didn't think he was the man for the job, but they should do St. Theodore instead, and how well they worked together for many years for the glory of God and for the church. Children, we should always be humble about our gifts, but humility is truth, and if our Lord gives us a talent and our Lord shows us his will that we should use it, we shouldn't be afraid to. Let's ask St. Adrian today to know a little bit about our characteristics, my weaknesses, my abilities. Some of the older students have been studying that in class this past few months with Father Romola about what your personality is, so that you can use all of your talents for God's greater honor and glory. That's an important thing. And let's pray too, as I say, for vocations. Let's pray for missions and for missionaries. And to remember that all of us, whether on a natural level or on a supernatural level, considering our sins and our bad habits and faults, all of us really are like the three kings of old, sunk in ignorance and darkness and sin, but God's star comes, the Holy Ghost taps us on the shoulder, just as the Holy Father did for St. Adrian, and says, I want you, we might say, who, me? And our Lord says, yes, you. This is the job I need you to do right now. So it's no good thinking about or daydreaming about what we do in the future unless we do our Lord's will here and now, just today, which too is another grace of Epiphany, isn't it? The best way to prepare for the future and for eternity is to do God's will today, to follow his star, his inspiration, when we get there, to kneel down and adore our Lord and offer him all of our gifts, to be as generous with Christ as we possibly can be. So that's enough program planned out for a week of Epiphany celebration and for a lifetime of following our Lord. Pray for your vocation, to know it and to prepare for it now, children. Pray for a vocation to the priesthood or the religious state. Pray for missionaries right now. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.